How does the church year teach us the fundamental narratives of salvation's story? The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for June is Ordering Our Days in His Peace, An Introduction to the Church Year. It's written by regular guest Pastor Heath Curtis. You can check out Ordering Our Days in His Peace at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase our Book of the Month by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Ordering Our Days in His Peace.
No matter what we choose to believe, there's no God who condones taking the life of an innocent human being.
Where I think we are in the culture, but also with religious institutions, is that people have stopped hating us, that is to say LGBT people, but they're not yet ready to celebrate us. That's the next big work to do.
Maybe it's something as simple as you whistle while you work.
Just whistle while you work.
Mega churches are a house of cards. Mega churches really are the primary example of what's wrong with evangelicalism, why it's so thin, so insubstantial, so unsatisfying.
Southern Illinois truck drivers, love issues, etc.
It has been stated as fact that children raised in same-sex households, that is where a father and father or mother and mother, gay or lesbian households, suffer no ill effects whatsoever, short-term or long-term, that they are, and this has been stated as fact, that they are, in terms of all measurable outcomes, are indistinguishable from children who are raised in households where the father is the father and the mother is the mother. That is traditional marriage households. That's been stated as fact. That has been accepted. I've read it dozens of times as axiomatic in the press. Not only by the defenders of same-sex marriage, but by people who have concerns about same-sex marriage. Well, you know, there's no conceivable harm to children, not that we can see. Has that proven true? Welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Dr. Jennifer Oback-Morse will be our guest here for the first few minutes. We're going to talk about a new study on the children of gay and lesbian parents. Colleen Carroll Campbell will join us after that. She has a few thoughts on the undercover videos taken at Planned Parenthood clinics in New York and Austin, Texas. The issue there, of course, is sex-selective abortion. In this case, someone ostensibly seeking an abortion, knowing that she's carrying a female baby, and at least in two cases in New York and in Austin, Texas, the Planned Parenthood personnel say, that's fine, here's how you do it, sex-selective abortion. A little bit later, James White will join us on this Tuesday afternoon. There are a lot of myths about the ancient Council of Nicaea. Some of them swirl around Constantine the Emperor. Some say that Christianity was invented there. Some people say it was corrupted there. We'll dispel the myths surrounding the Council of Nicaea in the last half hour of Issues, Etc. You can join us for the next hour, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at @IssuesETC. Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse is founding president of the Ruth Institute, based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the book Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Jennifer, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me.
The claim often made that children of same-sex couples show no discernible difference in all these measurable factors as they grow, as they mature, from children raised in the natural family. Has that oft-made claim stood up to scrutiny?
Well, there two studies just appeared over the weekend in a journal called Social Science Research, and one of them is a new study with new data that was specifically collected for this purpose. It's a 3,000-person sample that where they've chosen truly, they've done truly a random sample rather than doing these kind of convenient samples and so forth that have been done in previous studies. And this new study says beyond any shadow of a doubt that the children raised with lesbian parents or gay fathers do have some decidedly different outcomes and behaviors. And it's the first study to have a truly representative sample. It's also the first study that actually asked the children about how they were doing. So these are young adults aged 19 through 39 who grew up in, you know, with same-sex parents of some sort or another. And they asked the children, you know, different questions about what their childhood was like, different questions about how they're functioning now, and you can plainly see that their experience was really quite different and not as good as children in intact married biological families. So the claim that you made at the beginning of our talk here is one that I have said repeatedly is based on junk science, and now we've got somebody who's got an actually good study and actual good data, and those claims are just falling apart like a house of cards.
No, and the other study that you mentioned there actually goes and evaluates the existing studies, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Now, the other study, in its way, the study I just mentioned is by a guy called Mark Ragnaris, and so you'll see his name attached to some of these, you know, news reports. He wrote a little column on Slate magazine, for example, if people want to go check that out. But the other study in this same journal is, in its own way, even more devastating. It's by a person called Lauren Marks, whom I've never heard of before. But what that study does is he goes through all of the studies that the American Psychological Association used to make their statement that you just quoted, that they're, you know, the children of same-sex parents are doing fine. And he went and evaluated all those studies and basically said that most of those studies aren't worth anything. Most of the studies are inconclusive, based on insubstantial sample sizes, too few people, not representative people, and their statistical power is not very good. So when you say we can't find any difference between same-sex couples and gay and straight couples, when you say we can't find any difference, it could be that you didn't look hard enough, you see. And so what Lauren Marks is basically saying is, if you've only got 50 data points, you really aren't looking very closely, you know. And so taking these two studies together, it's a very significant challenge to this, you know, this thing that's become accepted wisdom, that children of gay parents are fine.
There's something intuitive about this. I mean, simply to say, it's kind of like the claim that has fallen apart in the last two decades, that men and women are completely interchangeable, except with respect to the plumbing. They're completely interchangeable. There's no difference between the sexes. This one seems to be of a similar sort, where to simply say a child raised in a household where the parents are gay or lesbian is not going to have any different kind of development or experience seems to just fly in the face of common sense.
Yes, and the only reason people believe that, or anybody believes it, is because it's been repeated so often, right? It doesn't become more plausible. If you line up 15 studies that are based on the same data and that are all inconclusive, 15 inconclusive studies do not add up to something conclusive, right? And so if you look at it this way, what we're expected to believe is not only does sexual orientation not matter, but also the gender of the parents doesn't matter, and also whether you're biologically related to the child doesn't matter. You're expected to believe all of that. And this, as you say, is on the face of it not plausible, not even remotely plausible. And so the study that Mark Ragnaris does is very careful. I mean, I have to say, he's not making grandiose claims for his findings. He's basically saying, you know, look, there are differences here, there are differences there, you know, and he's spelling out all kinds of, you know, limitations of the study. He's being very, you know, scientifically precise. He's not making grand conclusions. But there's simply no doubt that this broad sweeping claim of no differences, that broad sweeping claim simply has to be modified. And now what your listeners are going to hear is a lot of spinning by the pro-gay media, by the pro-gay activists and lawyers and so on. I did a debate just today, and my opponent said, oh, I thought you were going to bring that study up, and so he was all set with all of his spin. But the thing that you have to remember is that this study is the first study that is, number one, representative data, and not just a bunch of people that you found at a gay coffee house, but actually statistically representative sample. And number two, where you look at the actual functioning of the children. People don't realize this, but all of those studies, most of those studies that say, oh, the kids are fine, you know how they figure out that the kids are fine? They ask their parents how they're doing. Okay, so let's say that you are a lesbian mother of one of the 75 kids in a study, and let's say your kid is having trouble in school. Are you going to say that? when you're asked, you know, I mean, I just think it's incredible to think that there's absolutely no research bias or selection bias in the older studies. And this new study at least has the virtue that we're allowing the young adults to speak for themselves rather than just listening to what the mothers have to say.
One of our listeners has an analogy. I wonder what you make of it. Matt in Midland, Michigan says, just because I might be aware of someone whose children have not been negatively affected by an unlocked gun case, for example, doesn't mean that others have not been as well and that we should put no safeguards on weaponry in the house. What do you make of the analogy?
Well, what I think what he's saying is that what we're discovering here is a risk factor. It's a real risk factor. And so the fact that some people navigate the risk successfully and don't have anything bad happen to them doesn't mean that it's it isn't still a risk factor. So it's a funny analogy, but I think it does make an important point. So tell them thanks for bringing that up.
So how would you respond, with only about 30 seconds here before we got to wrap it up, when someone says, well, you know, I've seen all of this, these studies that say that children of lesbian or gay couples are indistinguishable from children of a mom and a dad. 30 seconds to respond. How do we?
Well, they're only asking them about how people feel. They're only asking them about adult perceptions. They're not asking the young people themselves how they're doing. They're not asking them, what was your family of origin like for you? What is your anxiety level? What is your depression level? They're getting self-reports from the young people, and there's a broad base of people that they're asking these questions of, and it simply beggars the imagination to think that all of these young people are making this stuff up.
Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse is founding president of the Ruth Institute. You can find out more about the blog of the Ruth Institute at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Jennifer, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.
We'll be right back. We're going to be talking about undercover videos taken at Planned Parenthood.
Ah, the sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come, join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30. And find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois, at trinitymillstadt.org.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
How does the church year teach us the fundamental narratives of salvation's story? The Issues, Etc. book of the month for June is Ordering Our Days in His Peace, An Introduction to the Church Year. It's written by regular guest Pastor Heath Curtis. You can check out Ordering Our Days in His Peace at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase our book of the month by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Ordering Our Days in His Peace.
Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly, issuesetc.org. Stay connected, issuesetc.org.